Thank you. Good to be back. What I'd like to begin with is praying this prayer together. And let's do it slowly so that I can really take in this prayer. It comes from the Bishop's Conference. It's about the new evangelization, which is what I'm going to talk about. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, pour forth your Holy Spirit to inspire me with these words from Holy Scripture. Stir in my soul the desire to renew my faith and deepen my relationship with your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that I might truly believe in and live the good news. Open my heart to hear the gospel and grant me the confidence to proclaim the good news to others. Pour out your Spirit so that I might be strengthened to go forth and witness to the gospel in my everyday life through my words and actions. In moments of hesitation, remind me, if not me, then who will proclaim the gospel? If not now, then when will the gospel be proclaimed? If not the truth of the gospel, then what shall I proclaim? God, our Father, I pray that through the Holy Spirit, I might hear the call of the new evangelization to deepen my faith, grow in confidence to proclaim the gospel, and boldly witness to the saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Does anybody remember what I spoke about last year?
Jesus.
Yeah, well, yeah. Come on, more specifically. Evangelization, that's right. What am I going to speak about today? Very good, because that really is what our lives as Catholics is all about. I think I mentioned last year that in the Gospels, before Jesus arose to the right hand of the Father, he said to the disciples, that's to everyone, that's to us, go out into the whole world and proclaim the good news to all creation, or every creature, depending on the translation, and baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That is what we call the Great Commission, or the Great Sending. That's why we have the church. So the church is not just this, did you get one? This nice place for us to be comfortable so we can have Mass and celebrate the sacraments. The church is really sort of the powerhouse from which we get sent out into the world. Now, I would say all of us are relatively long in the tooth, right? Would you agree? Not you, all right, not you. But incidentally, this is part of one of the issues of the new evangelization, how we speak, what we say. For example, long in the tooth. I was at an Altrea a couple of weeks ago giving a little witness, and everybody there was gray-haired except for two young men. I think they're both in their 20s, probably. And I said, you know, we're probably all long in the tooth. And afterwards, I thought, I'm going to ask them if they know what it means. They didn't have a clue. Really. And I, you know, you want to feel old? That's what I felt. And earlier in the year, when I first went to Our Lady of Peace, we had an ice cream social over on the campus of Hobart William Smith, because we take care of the college there. And there were four freshmen, and I said, can I ask you some questions? I shouldn't have. But, you know, they're very happy. I just wanted to find out what people know. I said, do you know who Sophia Loren is? Well, one girl said, I think she's an actress. The other ones didn't have a clue. I said, how many of you know who Cecil B. DeMille was? How many of you have seen Dr. Zhivago? What's that? And then I told him it was from the 60s. He said, well, I've seen Sound of Music. So thank God. So I have to remember when I'm talking with children, teens, I've got to know how to put what I want to say to them in words that they'll hopefully understand. Now, I grew up with long in the tooth, you know, so it's, you know, and even though it means about the, you know, horse's teeth keep growing. So that's how you can kind of tell how old a horse is. But, you know, kids don't know that, so they have a whole different language. But that's part of evangelization. How do we relate to people? How do we share the good news with them? And it's not rocket science. It's not rocket science, really. I'm going to talk to you about a way of doing that, which is very easy. It's so easy that I wonder why it wasn't put together in this fashion up until 3 years ago. But so we're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to go forth and proclaim the gospel message. And I love this prayer because it asks us three questions, and we really have to answer them. If not me, and you know, say, who am I? Well, if you are a disciple of the Lord, you are called to be an evangelist. There's no excuses. We have all sorts of excuses. You know, I gotta take care of my grandchildren. That's not a bad thing. But wait, in terms of what's important in the world, what's more important? Or I've got to do this, that, or the other thing. You know, we come up with excuses because really what we're trying to do is stay in our own little cocoon, our comfort zone. Because to think that I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, me? How? And yet we do it, you know, among friends at least, but we're called to go further. Second question, if not now, then when will the gospel be proclaimed? Well, it's not going to be proclaimed if we're not doing it now. And there are people who literally are dying without the benefit of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, people dying, people who are ill, people who are lost. Who is going to preach the gospel to them if we don't? If we don't kick our butts and get out there and start looking around and going up to people and starting to engage with them. I'm not talking about you have to have a degree in theology. You don't. But you have to have a love of Jesus Christ. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the first and important thing. Are you grateful to Jesus Christ for what he has done for you? Do you love him? Would you do anything for him? Or is Jesus, you know, a statue or a crucifix that, you know, it's easy to talk to because we don't expect anything back. But Jesus is asking each of us to be evangelists, to go out in the world and proclaim the gospel. And then the third thing, this really goes to the heart of what's happening in our culture. If not the truth of the gospel, then what shall I proclaim? If I'm not proclaiming the gospel, it's not that I'm not proclaiming anything. I am proclaiming something, but it's not the gospel. So when people look at me, if they don't see Jesus somehow in it, and I don't mean if they come up and say, what do you believe? If they don't see somehow in my words, in my deeds, that it's all about God, it's all about Jesus, then we're not proclaiming the gospel. What we're basically proclaiming is the American way of life, the culture, which basically says, keep it to yourself, do what you want on your own, but don't take it to other people. And I was listening to Women of Faith coming up here, and they were talking about the Hobby Lobby issue at the Supreme Court and all the questions about that. And of course, Cardinal George of Chicago said, you know, I'll probably die in my bed. My successor may die in prison, the other one, next one be shot, whatever. Will it go that far? I don't know. But it's going to get worse the more we hunker down and try to protect what we have, keep it the way we want it, comfortably, and instead going out and offering our lives and taking insults, taking persecution. Isn't that what the Beatitudes say? Blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake. The kingdom of God is yours. So it's all in the gospel. It's all part of what we're called to do and to be as Catholics. We have the answer to everything. Do you ever think of that? We do. And the answer is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. And one of my frustrations in the Catholic Church, in fact, do any of you know David Higbee over at St. Irenae? Okay. Yeah. Wonderful man, a convert. His assistant, who will probably take over for him, a convert. And I would like to start, you know, it keeps coming to me, an organization of converts and reverts to the Catholic faith. Because they've got the energy. One from St. Pius who came into the church last year. My God, I listened to her and I'm thinking, wow, you are growing. And she wants to grow. And she's constantly looking for ways to grow and to reach out to other people. So how many of you are cradle Catholics? Any converts here? Oh, dear. You know what that means. You're not doing your job. Really? Are you a convert? Oh, okay.
I'm a practicing Catholic.
Practicing Catholic?
Non-Catholic.
Well, we're going to get you. Here's your first. Now, I say that. Now, of course, there are fellow Christians who are in the same boat that we are, with the same beliefs, basically, and the same commission. All Christians have that commission. And are we doing that as Catholics? David Higbee says, you know, I love the Catholic faith. I love the teachings, but I can't stand the bureaucracy. And, you know, it's all over. It's in our parishes. Not all parishes, but many parishes are into, you've probably heard this, they're into maintenance, not mission. And because of our history in the Diocese of Rochester, priests are exhausted. They're demoralized. They're so worried about money and keeping up things that they're not realizing, let that go, focus on Christ, and everything else will fall into place. Because people like success and they're willing to fund success, but they're not willing to keep pouring money into bricks and mortar if they don't see anything happening. And I think that's where we are in the United States. Now, there are many parishes who have pushed the envelope, who are saying, what are we here for? We're here to evangelize. We're here for Jesus Christ. Are we doing it? What do we need to do for that? And many parishes, you know, put on programs, good programs, you know, they're fine. Alpha, Christ Life, Renew. But what happens after they're over with? Nothing, usually. You know, usually, you know, people come away feeling it was great getting to know people and all that. But we don't have goals. We don't have objectives that we build into our programs. And we don't evaluate our programs to see if they really have done what we want them to do. So here we sign up for all sorts of programs, retreats, etc. We go through them. Yeah, it was really nice. But it's all kind of in-house stuff. And unless there is a focus on moving from inside the parish to the outside, and then holding ourselves accountable for new people coming into the church, it's not going to happen. Now, sadly, in my parish in Geneva, we have nobody, no candidate, no catechumen for the Easter Vigil. I think this may be the first time I've ever been in an Easter Vigil where there wasn't at least one person. I mean, the whole idea of it is all about people coming into the church. And nobody's coming in. What if the goal was for every parish to have at least 15 catechumens between now and next year coming into the church, if we held ourselves accountable? We'd have to ask ourselves, how are we going to do it? Where are we going to get the people? So that's a good question to answer. And we'd have to start doing things we don't normally do in order to solicit, engage people to think about becoming a Catholic. And of course, the way we live our lives as Catholics is the biggest selling point or the biggest off-putting point. So if I'm going around with a smile a lot, people are going to wonder, what's wrong with that guy? Or they're going to say, what is it about? You always seem to be up, and I know you have this, you're dealing with, and that. Well, you know, it's all about Jesus. And then people want to know about it. But if we go around, you know, kind of like, you know, moody and all that, who would want to join a group like that? Or you go to parishes, and unfortunately you don't see many kids or young people. You're thinking, God, what's wrong with this parish? And there is something wrong. And we're talking about leadership, obviously, and I think Bishop Metano has a real desire to get things going in our diocese. And of course, Pope Francis, what an infectious smile he has. And, you know, he says, mess things up. And he's not saying, don't believe as we believe, you know, change doctrines and teaching. No, no, no. But, you know, get out. Do silly things if you have to get people's attention. Because we're dealing with a world that is collapsing. The West is, I don't know if we can save the West, quite honestly, because of what I look out and see. The hope, of course, is that as the fertility numbers go down, the only ones who are having children are those who tend to be focused on their faith. So in the long run, you know, it may change that way, but we can't wait for that. We've got to do our work now. Let me tell you another story. And this is, I think, much, much more common than it should be. But there are two deacons that work at the Elmira Correctional Institute. Deacon Mike McGuire, Deacon Al Passette, and there is a Protestant minister that works with them. And over time, they've been reading Fathers of the Church together, etc., etc. And this Protestant minister was really interested in the Catholic Church. So what did he do? He goes to one of their parishes. He gets into a pew. What did he get? A dirty look. Because he was in the pew of somebody else. Right? You know, and now, I think we probably all know that story, right? Can you imagine, I mean, those people that did it, you know, when they go to the judgment, what do you think God's going to say to them? That was not their pew. They were there to welcome that stranger. That's what Matthew 25 says. We're going to be judged on how well we have welcomed the stranger. But, you know, in this day and age, more than ever, we don't. So anyway, that Protestant minister went to, I think it was a Presbyterian church. What do you think happened there? That's right. He was welcome. So that's a culture in the United States, in our Catholic churches, I would say generally, that we have to tackle. Because if we want to bring people into the church, we have got to have worshiping communities that are welcoming. That when they see the stranger, they'll say, hi, how are you? Who are you? Not just like this and, you know, like that. No. No, because our purpose, our goal, our commission is to engage that person to bring them closer to Christ. And again, that could go against the grain of what our preconceptions are about the church and who we are as Catholics. But we have got to move past that. Otherwise, we're not going to be what God wants us to be, the Church of Jesus Christ. That is grabbing people, engaging people, and working with God to save people. So there is an awful, awful lot at stake. So I ask you to take those three questions home and to keep praying them and pondering them. But one of the things that some bishops are doing, which, oh, praise God, I hope Bishop Metano will do it. Archbishop Vigeron of Detroit and a neighboring bishop, and I'm not sure what the name of the diocese is. I know the people I spoke with are from Lansing, Michigan. But they're having kind of a holy competition to see how many people they can train to be evangelists. And the one bishop of the Lansing area said to the parish councils, stop talking about finances, stop talking about committees, talk about Jesus Christ. You know, because really parish councils are supposed to be a support to the pastor so that the church can be what it's called to be. You know, not just a club or a society, a structure that, you know, we like what's going on, but rather a seminary, really, of training, and keep sending people out. And as they come back, give them an opportunity to tell their story of their encounters with people, to congratulate one another, to support one another, to urge one another on, to go out and proclaim the gospel. And obviously, if we want to evaluate it, and again, we Catholics don't usually do that well at all. You know, we do that when it's a CMA or a fundraising, you know, where are we on the thermometer and all that. But when it comes to reaching out to people, you know, it's, oh yeah, I did that, that, that. So what are the fruits of it? What are the fruits of it? And we should be able to point to some fruits. And hopefully, we should be able to point to that person and that person and that person. They came into this church because someone went out and engaged them. They sent them to this church. Someone in this church took over and welcomed them, brought them into RCIA or engaged them in activities within the church so that they could be a member of the community and then go forth themselves to proclaim the gospel to others. That's what the church really should be like. And there are churches like that. Some of you may be familiar with the book called Rebuilt. Anybody? Rebuilt? Good, good book. It's about a parish in, I want to say Timonium, Maryland, that has undergone many years of transfiguration, really, of being this kind of dying community of older people to a very dynamic, engaging people where everyone is trained to be a disciple, an evangelist, to help people, to go out and encourage people to join. So, of course, it's exploding now. And they're not doing anything that's rocket science. They're just doing what good Catholics should be doing. They're engaging. Deacon Mike McGuire, again, he went down there for a conference that they did. And he stayed in the church a little while where everybody went outside to get food. Then he goes out, and as soon as he went out, one of the parishioners latched on to him and said, how can I help you? You want to do that? Okay, right this way. And she stayed with him through the whole process. Now, Protestants do that pretty well, evangelicals. You know, they latch on to people. They don't say, hey, here's a book, hi. You know, that's what we do. That's our welcoming in Catholic churches, right? Somebody handing them a book, good morning. But in evangelical churches, it's, hi, good morning, I don't know you. What's your name? I'm so-and-so. Are you familiar with the church? Let me introduce you to da-da-da. Why can't we do that? Now, of course, you have to have a parish, and this is part of the whole evangelization process. You have to have a parish that is willing to do that, that knows enough to do that, that is trained to. And when I say training, I mean, you don't have to go through a course. You just have to be told, if you see somebody you don't know, go up to them. Say hello. Find out a little bit about them. Let them know who you are. And say, what can I help you with? Because the more we do that, people are going to say, well, here are people who care. And is that what Jesus does for us? He cares for us? Jesus didn't wait for people to come to him. He went to them. The parable of the lost sheep. He didn't say, well, you know, one, so what? He went out to find that one person. So that's our model of ministry. And I think, again, you know, especially in our Diocese of Rochester, we've undergone so much with closings and this emphasis on less money, diminishment. It's like, oh, God, I just, and I've heard, and this is really sad, Father, I just want this church to stay open so I can have my funeral here. Now, I hope none of you have said that, but I've heard that, and I'm so sad when I hear that, or when I hear priests, and I'm not talking about Father Jim, but priests who can't wait to retire. They're tired. They're worn out because, you know, like Father Jim, Project Rachel wouldn't be in our diocese without him. You know, what a wonderful ministry. But, you know, all the other stuff that goes on, it can kind of just pull you down. And then if some of you who know my story, it's a miracle I'm still in the priesthood in this diocese. You know, I've had two bishops in a row now who I'm thinking, Lord, what have I done? And that's why I'm nervous about Bishop Matano. You know, I've met him 3 times, a wonderful guy, but I'm thinking, uh-oh, is this going to be 3 in a row? And so my trust level in God, you know, I'm really working on that because that's, you know, that's my my temptation, you know. And I know my salvation is in Jesus Christ. It's not in a bishop or a priest or anybody else. But hopefully we look upon ourselves as a family that want to bring people into the church. So a couple weekends ago, let's see, today's the 26th. Yeah, a couple weekends ago, and I want to thank David Higby of the Irenaeus Center for it, because back in December, he said to me, Father Mike, if you want to do anything, any kind of program, let us know. We will support you. And so I thought, because I wanted to bring in this evangelization training program, and I was thinking, I'm going to wait till I get in my own parish, blah, blah. Well, I don't know when the heck that's going to happen. So I thought, I'm going to do it now. So with his encouragement, I called them, set up a date, and it happened 2 weekends ago. And we had over 40 people. One woman came from the Poconos, one from New Jersey, couple from Carthage, New York, a guy who was actually a classmate of mine from Lemoyne, very interesting story there, hitchhiked from Waverly to come to this. And we had people, Father Tony Magavero brought 6 people from his parish. God bless Father Tony. But it was all so we could be trained in evangelization. The presenter, he grew up in a Catholic family, which became Lutheran. Then he became Baptist, was going to become a Baptist minister. His wife was Baptist. And she said, I will never become Catholic. Then one day she said to him, I've got to become Catholic. So he came back to the church and got a degree at Steubenville. And so now he is their trainer, young man who lives, I think, in Lansing or around there, who came to do the training. And I would encourage you to go on their website, because you can do a video training with them. It's not the same, obviously, as being with a crowd of people, because you had to do exercises of sharing your faith. But at least you get an idea of what they're all about. And then they have a wonderful workbook, just chock full of quotes from Pope Paul VI, because he was really the one that wrote that beautiful encyclical on evangelization. And very, very basic how-tos, and also what not to do as an evangelist. You know, so, and you didn't have to have a theological degree. And that was even part of it, too. What if people ask you questions that you don't know? Well, you can say, you know, I don't know that, but here's my number. Give me a call, or I'll call you, or I'll email you. And then you look it up. If you go on Google, you'll find everything. Back in February, when I was on calling all Catholics, somebody called up and said, Father, do you know anything about the blood moon? Anybody hear of that?
Yes.
I thought, what the heck is that all about? Yeah, so I went, while we were on a break, I Googled it, up it comes. And anyway, don't go there. It's you know, some interpretation of an eclipse that happens every 1,000 years during the Passover, et cetera, et cetera. And he wanted to know about it. And, you know, it's one of those things, you don't need to know about it. But anyway, that's how good Google is. If you have a question, go to Google. Now, the website is www.streetevangelization.com. Street evangelization, very easy, 2 words. I mean, it's all one big word, .com. The program is called St. Paul Street Evangelization. Started by a layman who had some money to spend, and he thought, I want to do this. The whole point is training teams to go out on the streets in public places to evangelize. And I think they have hundreds of them now. And actually, I didn't know this, but we were only the 4th group that actually had a trainer come in to train us. And they're going to be trained. They've already trained in Detroit. They're going to do Philadelphia, Detroit again, maybe a San Diego, whatever. But a wonderful, wonderful program. The people loved it. Everybody who was there because they want to get out and to do the work of evangelization. So it was a day and a half program with a workbook. We went through the workbook, you know, pretty briefly, obviously, did exercises. But the whole point was to get people to go out on the street and to engage people. So I'm going to show you how it's done. Peggy, would you be my person walking by. So just pretend you're walking down the street. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, would you like a rosary?
What for?
Well, it's a Catholic prayer that we pray, and I can show you the prayers too. I have a pamphlet for that.
Sure.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
And then I'd give her the pamphlet. Was that easy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it is. Would you like to keep the rosary?
Sure.
Okay. And I have several rosary makers who are going to supply us with that. Also, there are medals, tons of medals. Now, you may say, why would you give out rosaries and medals to people? You know, they don't know anything about Catholicism, but you can. It's a physical thing, something they can hold. A medal is something physical, they can see it, and you begin to engage them. Because they say, well, what is that? Well, that's the Blessed Mother. It's what we call a miraculous medal, because we believe the Blessed Mother is working with God to help us to be faithful, so forth and so on. And that's all you have to do. And the trainer that we had, Adam Janke, spoke about some of the experiences that people had on the streets with that. For example, in Las Vegas, a woman coming by, and she was offered a rosary, and she said, if you hadn't been here, I would have committed suicide. We don't realize that when we're not out on the streets doing that, that's what's happening out there. We can complain all we want about what's going out on the streets, but if we're not out there doing anything about it, we're to blame. We are to blame because we know what's going to stop it. And also, if you want to befriend them on Facebook under St. Paul Evangelization, you will see pictures of teams all over the country engaging people. And you don't have to, as I say, you don't have to have a lot of theological background. You just have a bunch of rosaries. Hi, would you like a rosary if they go by? No, that's fine. If they stop, engage them, and all they want is the rosary, that's fine. You're not trying to grab people, but establish relationships, starting to engage people. And then if you really get into a conversation with them and they want to connect with the church, this is the next part, which is problematical. You got to send them to a parish. That's where we've got to be careful. Because you don't want to send them to a parish where they're going to get yelled at if they try to sit in your pew. Seriously, Adam took about six of them out after we had dinner on Saturday night at the end of the workshop. And he said, so where should we send them, if anybody? Well, nobody came up because it was a freezing cold night and windy. So nobody came. But, that was a hard question. I mean, we knew of the Newman Center, the U of R, which would have been a good place, but it's not a parish. And then we know St. Anne's, which, you'll wonder about sending people there. So there's a two-pronged thing. And I'm going to write to Bishop Matano about that part about the welcoming, maybe just to let parishes be aware.
We'll take them at St. Monica's.
Yes, St. Monica's, Holy Apostles, the city parishes in general. But, the city parishes generally have been much more open to the stranger. Our suburban things kind of like fortress mentalities, unfortunately. And we really have to break that down. So anyway, St. Paul Street Evangelization, this is the training we got. And I wrote Bishop Matano on two weeks ago, Thursday, saying to Bishop Matano, and I actually was going to ask him to come to the training, but there were some political things that raised their ugly head with a former leader of our diocese, which I thought I better just avoid at the moment. I won't go any further than that, but unfortunately, I was really saddened by it. But anyway, We had permission to do the workshop, and I wrote Bishop Matano. I said, look, we have over 40 people who are interested in starting a chapter here in the Diocese of Rochester. With your permission and support, we'll go ahead and do that. So he called me the following day, got the letter in a day, and said, Father Mayor, you know how he talks, Father Mayor, I got your letter dated March 16th. Please call me. And then I called back, and he wasn't available. So Father Dan Condon, the chancellor called me back. And he said, Mike, we got this, and it looks fine. He just would like the names and the parishes of all the people who came to the event and a copy of the workbook, so I sent it to them. So I'm expecting his official approval. And one of the places that we want to evangelize or go to, which is prime area, but hopefully the more teams we have, and you only need like really two people to be a team. More than that can be overwhelming for people coming up to you. But the public market on Saturday mornings. You know, in the good weather, they say up to 10,000 people or more go through there. Can you think of a better place to put this program? And so I wrote the public market and I said, can we go on the main property and do this? And they said, yes, you can. You can't have a established spot, but you can walk around. You can't go under the awnings or the building, which we wouldn't want to do. It's too crowded there. But we can walk around. And so most places, now on a street corner, if we did a street across the from the entrances on public sidewalks, you know, we could set up a table, anything you want. That's true anywhere in the country. So you just have to make sure it's a public place so you don't run into any trouble. But what Adam Janke did, which is probably what we'll do because we have to be mobile, at least within the property, he got one of those radio flyer wagons. Anybody have one they're not using? If you find one, you know, let me know because we could use probably a lot of them for all our groups. So you attach the sign to that says Catholic Truth, Got Questions, etc., Need Prayer. See, that's another thing too. When someone comes up, you can say to them, can we pray with you? Anything you'd like us to pray for? See, that's a real easy thing to do too. Because that's a great gift to people. So the rosary part was just to start the thing. And then you can go, they have all these free downloads of what is the Eucharist, baptism, etc. It's all free. But the whole point is to engage them. So if you got a little radio flyer cart, you know, you put all your stuff and you just, you know, pull it along and you keep handing out rosaries and all that. And you just keep showing up there so that, you know, people will get to know you. Very easy. Very easy. So, you know, I that's what I liked when I first saw this program, and I can't remember who told me about it, but when I went on the website, I thought, this is so easy. Any Catholic should be able to do that. And Adam Janke, though, he says, you know, in his own parish, he asked the soccer mom, he said, would you go with me for this evangelization? And all it was going to be was going up the line, and this is what St. Pius could do. Because of the garage sale. They had a garage sale, and all the people line up early. So he said, all I'm going to do is go up the line and offer rosaries to people. And she goes, oh. So he says, well, I'll follow you. So she follows him, and she sees him handing out rosaries. And finally she goes, I can do that. Grabs the rosaries, and she's gone. So this is, I think, the cutting edge for us Catholics to kind of push ourselves to try this. And anybody can do it. And, you know, even if you have, you know, someone say, you know, I can't stand. Well, get your lawn chair. Why not? Get your lawn chair and sit down. But the whole point is letting people see who the Catholic Church is, helping them to meet Jesus, to have a deeper relationship with Jesus. Because, again, we are responsible for our brothers and sisters. The last judgment, Jesus is not going to care if you tutored your grandchildren and got them into college and they got good jobs. No, he's going to care if you gave them the faith so that they don't care about whether they have a lot of money or not, and also whether or not we reached out to our neighbor, the stranger. Again, in Matthew 25, it says we're going to be judged on feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, greeting the stranger, visiting those who are sick and in prison. So if you think of, let's say, illness and prison in the spiritual sense, certainly that's everywhere. And by doing something like this, we can reach out to others. And I think we will be surprised at the results we will get. So again, when I asked the bishop for approval, and I'm expecting that it will be approved, So that's something that I'm hoping to engage as many people as possible. We had a wonderful crowd of people who seem very, very engaged, who are, and I'm in contact with them through their email, who want to get out and do that. But I think the more we do that, I think it's going to really change our diocesan life. Or it's going to make us more Catholic, really. Because can you imagine if, because of the efforts of people going out to strangers and asking them to come in, engaging them and offering them the truth, that our churches start getting people coming in. And so one of the things you can do right off, because there are strangers coming in all the time, if you notice someone and you're quite sure you don't know who they are, they've never been there, go up to them. Go up to them and welcome them. Okay, you don't need permission. You know, I know, in fact, when I first went back to St. Pius, there were a couple. The wife was fine, the husband was a little bit annoyed with me because I would always come in. I have to go up and down the aisles and say hello to everybody. I love it. You know, good morning, how you doing? He was a little bit annoyed because he wanted his quiet time with the Lord. And I said to him, well, do it at home before you come to church. Or sit in your car for a few minutes. And he did. He did that. But when you come into the church, you know, it's not my private chapel. It's really community prayer. So it's different. And God says you want your private prayer, you go into your home, you go into a chapel, you know, a 24-hour chapel, whatever. But the church is our family. And what do families do when they get together? They greet one another. That's right. And where else can you catch up with, well, how's Mary doing? Is she still in the hospital? I'm going to go up and see her today. That's part of ministry. That's what we need to be doing. You know, God's not going to throw us out simply because we've changed the way we view our practice in the church. But that's public community life. We have to be aware of that, and we have to be especially aware of the stranger who comes to join us. Because you know who that stranger is? It's Jesus. It's Jesus, yeah. So I tremble on one hand because as Catholics, I don't know that we've done a very good job in welcoming people like that. But on the other hand, I have great hope because we always can change. God has great things in store for us all the time, showering us with all sorts of graces and giving us our brains so that we can use them in clever ways. What does Scripture say? Be clever as serpents, but gentle as doves. Well, be clever. And, you know, engaging children, engaging young people. Now, I wouldn't have any of you give a rosary to a teenager. I think you'd blow it. I'm kidding. But quite frankly, this is the other thing, too, which I think many of you would agree, that when we put ourselves out and engage, we get more back because we see the awesome power of God working through our engagements with others. And we keep finding that we're being blessed by other people. And to think, what would you feel like if, out of blue, somebody came up to you, and so let me just really quickly say, you know, people come up and they need a food or whatever. You know, that's something else. You know, you get a list of things so you can refer them to. So we're interested in the whole person, not just their spiritual life. But primarily, you know, we're going to engage them religiously. But if someone came up to you, and after talking with them, they said, you know, I was on my way to commit suicide. How would you feel if you were the instrument of God at that moment to bring about this wonderful gift to this person? Wow. But God trusts us to do that. He has commissioned us to do that. Are we sufficiently engaged in our own faith, the practice of our faith, so that we're willing to do that? Are we willing to let go of our expectations, our preconceptions, what's comfortable to us? And I know, you know, as you get older, it takes a little more energy to do things, but there's also a lot more wisdom, a lot more wisdom. So to reach out to little children, to teens, to young married couples, the sky is the limit. And so we're all called to be evangelists. I love all of you to be members of the chapter once we get it going. And basically how it goes like this, if we have like leaders around the place and then maybe an email will go out and say, who can join me tomorrow at this place for this time? And then people let them know. And as I say, you only need a couple. And if you have more, you can just spread out along the block. So it's very, very simple. You don't have to spend all day there, wherever it is. But public street sidewalks, you can put a table. That's what many of them would do. Like I think in St. Louis, they're along the River Walk and they put a table and they have the rosaries and CDs and brochures, all the stuff you can download free from and print it out from St. Paul Evangelization. And then it's all available. So again, you don't have to be a theologian. If someone wants to know about the Eucharist, well, here's a pamphlet on it. Why don't you read it? And you know, if you know you're going to be there again next week, say, I'll be here again next week if you want to come up. And then what happens to us too then, we have to know more about our faith. So we're going to learn what we need to do, little chunks at a time. We don't need to do a lot. And then if there's someone here who's very good at it, well, you know, Joan, she really knows a lot about it. Why don't you, Joan, would you come over and talk? You know, it's just showing people that we care. That we care about our relationship with Jesus and that we care enough about them that we want to share what is most important to us in our lives. So it comes back to, is Jesus the most important thing being in my life? What am I willing to do to say thank you? If I'm really grateful, I'm going to be chomping at the bit to share. And that's why I say reverts and converts, you know, you can't shut them up. They keep wanting to learn more and more. And unfortunately, they also notice the disappointment when they go into a parish where there's no life, there's no vitality. You know, it's all, I've heard that from quite a few people who went through the RCIA. They were so filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they go back to, or get into kind of a normal weekly parish life, and they're thinking, this isn't what you told me it was like. You know what I mean? Yeah. So but it is doable. But we have to have a plan of action. We have to have it set out. We have to have goals. We have to be able to evaluate what is going to happen. And we have to hold ourselves accountable. So if a year from now, let's say we only had 5 catechumens that came as a result of this sort of thing, we'd have to say, why didn't we get 10? Because that was our goal. What didn't we do? What do we need to change it? Etc., etc. So it's possible. Corporations think this way, and here in the church, you know, we're not going to be a corporation, but we should be thinking with some of those tools, how do we get from point A to point B? If we want this to happen, what are we going to do to encourage people? What are we going to do to engage people? How are we going to, in the best sense of the word, sell the Catholic faith to other people? Because again, it is our life. It is everything for us. It is what we were created to live and to preach. So, and you go to other countries, especially poor countries, and again, you know, it's a very different life, which perhaps we should pray for it. But Deacon Kevin Cargis, who's a deacon in the diocese, he has his own nonprofit that does work like in Haiti and Jamaica and Kenya. And he was recently in Kenya with Catholic Relief Services to do some visiting. And I said, well, Kevin, how was it? I think it was gone about 2 weeks. He said, oh, I had bronchitis through the whole thing. I said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, it was wonderful. Because, he said, people would be walking for hours to get to church. The Mass would go for 2 hours, 3 hours. People were dancing and singing. They were happy. Can you, you know, contrast that with our liturgies. Can you, now, I hope none of you do this, and if you do, you better stop. I hope none of you leave Mass early, right after communion. Because, you know, Judas was the first person to leave Mass early. But, you know, when I see that, it happens in all the churches. The only place it didn't happen was in the city. Never, we couldn't get rid of people after Mass. But in suburbs, some people, the Mass could be 30 minutes long, an hour long, they still leave. That is an insult. That is rude beyond belief. I don't understand it. But see, that's what I mean about problems in our Catholic faith. It's kind of like, you know, the old proverbial, get the cookie and go. You get what you came for, goodbye, that's it. Don't expect anything else of me. Well, that's not Christianity. That's not the Christian faith. But if we treat our faith like that, what are we saying to other people? We're creating scandal, literally. But in Africa, places like that, the hospitality, the welcome is immense. One Ukrainian bishop, after the Iron Curtain fell, was asked by a Westerner, Bishop, what should we in the West be praying for? And he said, persecution. Persecution. Because that's when the church is strongest. Because you're pushed to either say yes, to run hot, or to say no, to run cold. There's no lukewarm. You can't get away with it. And here we are living really in the land of milk and honey, and we're so focused on, you know, our own welfare. And when I was growing, well, when we all were growing up, there were no such things as IRAs and annuities generally, you know? You expected to live on Social Security, and also your children would help you. Not like that today. It's a totally different world. And the community is broken down. It's, you know, every man, woman, and child for themselves. And that people actually worry about what their retirement is going to be like. It's like, how do you know you're going to live that long? You know, why worry about that? We should be worrying about this. Who's going to proclaim the gospel? If I'm not doing it, it's not going to get done. So it's an invitation, not an invitation, it's a commission, it's a challenge, it's really a command from the Lord saying, you are my earthly forces, you are my feet, you are my hands, you are the ones that I have brought into my body so that you can go out and bring more people into my body, so you can bring more people into the church. That's our call. So I'll sign you all up. Any questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned about in-house, and as a retiree, practically everybody I come in contact with is through church. I'm not really into a lot of other things. So what is my role? I'm at the same mass every time, even daily, whatever. So the people I see are the Catholics. Now, what should I be doing?
Well, one thing you could do, obviously, would be prayer, obviously, for the Holy Spirit to touch people's minds. But we also have to give people a clear way of how they can move from just sitting in the pew to evangelizing. So that's why I brought in St. Paul Street Evangelization. It was a clear way of how to do that. So what you might want to do is find out if there are maybe just one or two people who would be interested in being a team here in Gates. And then, you know, go on the website, talk to me. Other people went through the training. Come to when we go out to the public market, see what it's like, and then start it going here.
I think they are starting something here at St. Jude's Evangelization Committee. I think they
well, every parish has evangelization programs, but they don't. But you know, it's always in the form of teaching people certain truths and all that, but not really giving them the tools to go out. See, that's what I think is the big rub, that we know a lot, but we're not, we need people to kick us in the butt. Say, get out on the street corner with that sign and talk to five people. You know what I mean? But see, that's why I say, with the rosary, it's easy. Because you don't have to come up with, oh, hi, would you like a rosary? And that starts it off. So, but that's why I say, if every parish had a team, and I'm convinced that that's the best evangelization program, getting a couple people who are willing to go out, coming back and saying, hey, look what we did. And then one person wants to join, then another person wants to join, because they're bringing back the reality that it's really very easy. And especially if someone shows up in your church that you talk to, you can run to them and you start inviting them and introducing them to people. And believe me, they're gonna point at you and you'll be the head of all these evangelization programs. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, that's why I say we in the church, we're very good about programs. You know, that's why most parish councils, the one in Our Lady of Peace drives me nuts. And one of the people on it said, Father, you should have seen it last year. Everything is bad this year. But it's just one committee report after another. You know, what's happening? I don't care. I want to know what you're doing to bring about the kingdom of God in Geneva. How many people have you engaged? But you see, we're more comfortable. Yeah, I got this nice report. Isn't that lovely? Yeah, we had a dinner and we had 100 people attend. Well, did you invite neighbors to it? What a great time to just bring in your neighbors. Allow them because they're free. You know, here it's across the street, you got the housing project there. Has anybody gone over there door to door and said, you know, across the street is this wonderful parish. We'd like you to come to a fish fry. And here's a free ticket for you and your family. And then when they come in and say, oh, hi, you're a neighbor. How are you? You know what a rosary is? And I'd like to give you. You can do it that way, too. So it doesn't have to be on a street corner. But you can use programs like that. But, you know, everybody would come for a fish fry, right? What's that?
Fish fry, not the rosary.
Well, both. I know, they come for the fish fry, but then you go to the rosary part. But what a wonderful way. You're showing hospitality and welcome and concern. And what's it cost? I mean, if everybody gave a free ticket for that, you could bring a lot of people over with. You know, in the city of Rochester, when I was a pastor there, five times during the summer, we would have what we called Faith, Food, Fun, Family, Friends, and Fellowship Fairs on Monday nights, where we had free hot dogs, free games for the kids. We brought the Zoomobile, a fire truck one time. A Righteous Bee, the Catholic rapper, came a couple times, did a free concert. We had free music. We did Christmas in July. All free for anybody in our neighborhood wanted to come in. We had prostitutes. We had drug dealers. We knew who they were. They knew who we were. But they appreciated it. We engaged them. The youth, who didn't, you know, some of them, they come from families where the mothers will lock the cabinets so they don't eat all the food before the end of the month. So we're providing this love to them. Very easy. We were just staying on our property and waiting for people to come to us, but engaging them. And then I loved it. Ida Caruso, one of my parishioners, Italian, you know, pretty heavy accent still, she would say to the little kids, let me take you into church and show you around. And she'd take them and give them a tour. That is St. Joseph. And she'd tell the story of saying, she was a natural evangelist. But how simple that was. But do we do those things? I mean, do we invite even the neighbors in our surrounding area to come on down for a hot dog and some games for the kids and to keep that relationship going as opposed to we keep it locked in? Are you a parishioner? You know, how many times are you a parishioner? Well, you know, this is only for... Well, it shouldn't be. It should be for everyone, whatever's going on in the church. Do you have a question?
I get kind of tongue-tied trying to say to you, but sometimes in the grocery store or wherever, people have said, oh, I like your cross.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, oh, that's, you know, where I got it from or something.
Jesus.
But that would have been a good opportunity for me to...
Absolutely.
But it's true.
You know, and here's another suggestion for that. Whatever parish you're at, if every parish had a nice little warm fuzzy brochure and you could pull it out of your purse, oh, I'm a member of so-and-so, I'd love you to have join us, and I go to this mass, I'd love to see you there. That would be another way of extending a thing to them. But that's great, wearing Christian symbols that really stand out. And then people will know, and if you see them kind of noticing, oh, are you looking at that? Then you can talk to them.
We do have those brochures now, and they said what the Lenten series were about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Events, but of course, they're not in my purse.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think a good generic welcome to this parish brochure would always be good. You know, it doesn't have to give all the details, but maybe the mass times. And then, well, this is a little bit about our parish. You know, we have a children's liturgy of the word and this, that, and the other thing. you know, to promote ourselves. We, you know, anything we can do to promote ourselves would be good. Yeah.
I have to say something that's happening at St. Theodore's, and it's with the little kids, and I see it's making a big difference. When they say the Our Father, Father Steve invites all the little kids to come up to the altar and start off very small. The kids just flock up there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, they haven't even made their communion or anything. To say the Our Father, and then next thing you know, they're bringing their friends in there.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
To me, when you're talking, that's a little bit of evangelism for little kids.
Sure, sure.
I mean, you know, it's really great to see that.
Yeah.
They just run up there.
And little kids are good about it. You know, I was thinking, if you're on a street corner and you have little kids, they would love to pass out rosaries, wouldn't they? And then you grab, people say, what a cute, they start talking, this is my son. It gets into something more. Use your kids, your grandchildren. Yeah.
Mary called the rector the other day because Hannah, you know, would give out little things, and, you know, this is for her little flower project.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Smith, you know, he has a rosary.
Yes, yes.
And so,
I know that.
You know, they make rosaries now. So she loves to give her handmade rosaries.
Yeah, yeah. What a great thing.
She thought, you know, to get another little medal, maybe if she could pass something out, you know, about confession.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
absolutely.
The ushers would give her the job of straightening up all the books.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And getting little kids. And little kids, they don't have the, you know, the worries about what do people think of me if I do that. They just do it.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that we should be praying for the heart of a little child. You know, I know we go into our third or fourth childhood, you know, as we get older. But if we really enjoy our faith, and we're called to enjoy it, to really say, God, you're really wonderful in my life. It's got to show through our actions and our words. So we need to be more forthright with it.
Father.
Yeah.
I got to tell you this. I got to share this to everybody. My husband was a deacon, and he used to carry scapulars in his pocket. And we used to go to runs on the ridge every weekend. And there was a waiter, his name was Joe. And I don't know how they got talking, but my husband pulled out the scapular.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, here. And Joe used it. He put it on, he was Catholic. We went back the next week, and Joe came up to my husband, and he says, Jay, do you have another scapular? I gave mine to somebody else.
Yeah.
But my husband always used to have scapular.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
Scapulars.
Yeah. And what if you... If you had a pocket full of rosaries and medals, so in fact, that's exactly what Adam was saying. His boss who founded this, whenever he goes out to eat, he always offers medals to the waitress.
Yeah.
You know, you may think, why would I do that? You do it because you want to get them thinking about God. So, you know, they're really, really simple ways of engaging people. You don't have to have a lot of theological knowledge, just a love for Jesus.
I was going to say, Father, excuse my voice, but people, when I grew up, wore medals all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I get stopped in the grocery store to pray for people. I wear
this.
They want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Gives me a chance to talk about the Sacred Heart, Mother Cabrini, and the miraculous medal. I pray for them once in a while. Their prayers are answered. They come out and tell me about it.
Yeah.
To people. I've had the cashiers ask me for medals.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
I think the church is behind this where
absolutely
get back into wearing sacramentals.
That's part of
well.
You don't have any permission to do that. You just do it.
But they should talk about it. By the
yes.
Pulpit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to get some from that end too.
Yep. Yeah.
And I know I had a man approach me if he could kneel with me in the church.
Uh-huh.
And it was great, and we had time before Mass, and I thought, darn, I don't have an extra rosary with me. I went back. I couldn't find an extra rosary in the church to give him.
Mm-hmm.
And here he came to find out.
Well, I have a source in Geneva.
But the churches should be made aware.
Well, you know, absolutely. But I don't think you're going to get a lot of pastors jumping to it. But you do it. You do it. And I have a source in Geneva who will give me all the rosaries I need. So I'll pass them on. I'll pass them on to all of you. And to just keep giving. And medals, actually, if you go on to the St. Paul Street Evangelization site, Street Evangelization, you can buy medals there too. Or go out to ask, this would be a great idea, St. John's shop. Yeah. Ask them if. Boy, did I get in trouble there? No, you're right. But if you order through St. John's, would you get stuff cheaper?
No, we pay the tax. Sure.
Okay. All right. But you know, if you asked your buyer, we ask for 10,000 medals, you know, see what it would cost. And then you could sell them in bulk. You know, everybody have a bag with them. The same with plastic rosaries. I'll get free. I can pass them on. But you know, to do that, to have that ready, brochures and that sort of thing. Another story Adam told, which is very funny. He was on the street, and this guy, all tattooed with piercings everywhere, comes up. So he thought, incidentally, he also said this, because someone asked, well, what about these people that are angry with the church and come up? He said, rarely do you ever get them coming to you. I mean, they want to avoid you. And if they do, you know, you just play it cool. Say, we'll pray for you. Or, I understand it's very difficult what you're going through, and I'll pray for you. And say, can we pray together right now? Always offer prayer. But this young man, he came up and he started talking and he said to Adam, yeah, I'm about halfway through now the catechism of the Catholic Church. So this guy was Catholic. He knew his faith and he was engaging with it. So here, you know, the expectation was this guy is really a freak. Turns out to be he's a real Catholic, you know. So that's another thing. Don't judge. Don't judge. You don't know who these people are and what gift they're going to give you. So, you know, it's a whole learning experience filled with surprises. And again, I'm convinced that this type of activity will rejuvenate the parishes, because people who have had these experiences out on the street, they're going to come back and tell people about it. And it would be wonderful if at Masses, after the prayer, after communion, you know, on an occasional basis, someone were to get up and just in 3 to 5 minutes talk about what they've done in terms of evangelizing. Because that's a very powerful witness coming from a layperson. You know, priests can do it, nuns can do it, but when a layperson does it who's experienced it, and they say, I don't like her to begin with, and how come she had that great experience? Well, I'm going to try it myself. That's okay, a holy competition. But, you know, that's going to encourage people to get out and do things. Any other? Yes, Jerry.
There's always a little reluctance, and we're not ready to do that. And I saw something that could be on a bumper sticker. I can't remember the lead-in line. It's like, live life. This is not a rehearsal.
Yes. Yeah, it is. You know, it's like we're always preparing. Yeah, I'm going to get to it. But do we get to it? Again, that's why I brought in St. Paul Street Evangelization, because I thought, what am I waiting for? This is so practical, down to earth, that it really is a win-win situation. It's so easy. Anybody can hand out a medal or a rosary and engage people. So my challenge to you is stop waiting, stop worrying, grab a partner, form your own team. And, you know, because down at the public market, yeah, I could see at least 5 teams every Saturday morning. The various entrances and on the property roaming. And, boy, and then the idea is, too, to invite Bishop Metano sometime to come down. Because Archbishop Vigarone from Detroit did that. And what's funny, I was told a story. He came down with kind of a cadre of priests, which was kind of looked like his bodyguard. And so they thought, this isn't going to work. So they sent the other priest to another corner. So Bishop Vigarone was by himself with somebody else, and he got engaged with people. He really enjoyed it. You know, so, but here, now there was an archbishop who came out, and now I think they want to do a training twice a year in their diocese to train more people for the teams. And then the Bishop of Lansing, you know, very supportive. A lot of bishops around the country are very supportive of this. So again, it's not rocket science. Every single one of you are capable of doing it. Every single one of you. The only thing that gets in our way is our maybe ego, our pride, our false sense of unworthiness, whatever you want to call it. But every one of us, just the way we were created, we are created to be priests. Okay, purpose of the priest is lead people in prayer. So when you pray for people on the street, you say, can I pray for you? You're doing what your baptism tells you to do. We're called to be prophets. What were the prophets for? They were to tell people, look, this is the correct way to follow the Lord. Let's follow the Lord together. You're going the wrong way. That's what you were called to do in baptism. You're called to be a kingly people, to be kings. That is to lead people, to rule over people. Not like earthly kings, but as Jesus did, as a servant. A king as servant, to serve people. That is your commission. That's what you've been called to do. So it's not something I give you, it's what Christ has already given all of us. So we're simply exercising our baptisms. And Lent really is all about renewing our baptisms. I know we don't think of that usually, but that's what it's about. That's why in Easter we renew our baptismal vows. To say, okay, Lord, I've been screwing up, but I recommit myself. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Any other questions, comments? Yep.
What can you say about Stephen Ministry? Is that the one of the program?
Which one?
Stephen Ministry.
Well, that's a kind of an internal church ministry, which is very good. It trains people to be ministers to, you know, like homebound, that sort of thing. And I know St. Pius has it. That's a very good ministry. And that can be a form of evangelization. But I think generally, unless they make it a point to find out who's sick, whether they're Catholic or not, and visit them or help them, it tends to remain within the Catholic parish.
Are there boundaries?
No. Oh, no, not really. No, any parish. I mean, depends on who you get calls from, who needs help, and you go out for it. It's a wonderful program. Because again, it's training people to actually have the skills to go out and minister with people.
Yeah. Father, one time I went on, you know, pilgrimage with Mary's Pilgrims, and we went to China and Russia and Korea. And then we were joined by two priests from California that he happened to be evangelizing. Mm-hmm. And they said the greatest area of evangelization was for China. They brought thousands of miraculous medals. Mm-hmm. And so we handed out all these miraculous medals, walked up the Great Wall, Tiananmen Square. And I think they were kind of wondering, because sometimes you walk down Tiananmen Square and there's these people with dark coats on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All they're
yeah.
kind of, so where are these people from? You know, but
yeah.
as the priests were saying, you hand it out and let our Blessed Mother work.
That's right. That's right.
And then when they would just come up to you, and you go in a store, and they'd go, well, give me some more. I got, you know, brothers and sisters
right.
at home. They were so anxious to get
right.
them.
Right. And I think you'll find that here, too. People will go home and say, I met so-and-so, and it may spark a memory or an interest in someone who is raised Catholic and fallen away. They know where to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Father, we really thank you for coming.
You're
here.
Very welcome. Okay.
Go ahead. No, I just wanted everybody to hear this. I do have from my front door, when you come in, I have a flower box. I have a Blessed Mother about 2 feet tall. Every rosary that I get my hands in, I hang it on the Blessed Mother.
Good for you.
And anybody that comes in, I'll say, oh, are those, you know, can we pick and choose?
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Yeah, make your home a little shrine and place for that.
I always wondered where they came from. So you know what I did? I sent away for 50 of those copies of the 10 most questions that Catholics are asking. And whenever I heard somebody say, I wonder why Catholics don't do that, I give them a brochure and the answer would be, and they say, oh, I didn't know that. And I say, well, good. Then I answered.
Absolutely.
And that made me feel better too.
Right. And again, if you go to streetevangelization.com, you will see all the brochures you can download for free and print off. And, you know, they make them available specifically so that people can just go print them off and give them away. Oh, yeah. See, you invite him to come to your church.
Right. So I gave him a brochure, and he just had a surprise.
Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
All the way from Geneva.
Yeah. So feel free to be in touch with me. My email, very easy, is padremayer, M-A-Y-E-R, at gmail.com. Padremayer at gmail.com. So, you know, ideas if you want to start a team. You know, let's go for it. Let's not wait. And the more we think things, let's face it, we don't follow through. We just have to do it. Get out there. And believe that there are other people all ready to go out with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.